I may have overextended our talents at this point, as I decided it would be a good time to take a picture of you.
Yeah.
Just before the show started, and you're still uploading or sharing that image right now. Just carry on. The music's still going, but you are on a very tight deadline. Just
okay.
To let you know.
I'm just cropping. Just bear with me while I crop people.
That was the last. That was the chord. That's the end of the song. We're live. You're there.
Hello. Hello. How are you all? It's Friday. Isn't that good?
Do I need to buy an awful lot more time while you edit?
I can. You know what? I can multitask.
You can talk. You can say hello. You can welcome the people.
I did.
Whilst also.
Hello. Welcome.
Also sharing. I just wanted to share because the comments today, they're bored of audio now. They want video, and we don't have video. We're not ready. We're months away from
video.
We're
not rich enough.
We're none of the above. And so I just thought I'd share a photograph, a still image, which is sort of video. It's visual at least.
Am I tweeting this or what?
Yeah, why not? Give it a good old tweet.
Okay. How are we all? How have we been? How are you? I see we've cracked open the Red Bull.
Oh my goodness me.
It's been a bit of a week.
Oh, has it been a week? It's been a week. Yeah, no question about it. It has
definitely been a week.
Mm.
No one can argue with that.
It has been quite a week. And yes, I would crack. Yeah, I've lost that cracking sound, you know, but I can give you a tinny sound.
Oh, God.
It doesn't really work in audio, but yeah, it's time for the Red Bull. It tastes like podcasting. It feels like podcasting. I'm good to go. My feet are up and it's Friday.
I was gonna
you on the other hand, no, you're still editing the picture.
I was going to say that actually for us, this
it's like Rolf Harris in the corner.
This is just for the... Oh, weird. I don't think I've ever been compared to Rolf Harris before, but there you go. There's a first time for everything. It's come to that time of year where it's starting to get a bit darker again, so we can be more relaxed. I was going to say that to you.
Instead of feet up Friday in the daylight, starting to feel like evening. I'll tell you what, we've got a problem here. I'm filling time.
You've got a problem.
You know the side podcast notifications that pop up? Well, I've got them, and I really don't want them, and I don't know which tab they're in, and I can't get rid of them.
That's one of those first world problems.
Where are they coming from? They're not on anywhere. Ah, well.
Right, I'm sending my tweet.
Okay.
I hope everyone is eagerly refreshing Twitter.
Is it an awesome picture of you, or is it terrible? Because it's a bit dark in here, and I'm not sure it came across.
You'll have to find out. Wait and see. The suspense is killing.
This was a terrible, terrible idea of mine.
What, to take a picture of the second we started
the
live check?
Energy of the show before
right.
It's even begun.
I'm on it now. Hello.
Does it look okay? Tell me, describe it to the people who are listening in audio. How does it look?
It looks like a picture of me.
Okay, fine.
I think it's a bit, if you make it too big, it looks like, you know, because it's in the dark. I don't know how you describe these things. Is that Will has found it for me? I was trying to link to it and it wasn't working. There you go.
Grand job.
Will is on form today,
now
I must
we have,
say.
Now we have sound and vision.
Yeah.
We're good to go.
I should have waved.
Have we got a roll call? Who's in the comments here?
Well, Will, Jordan, Stephen, Dreamland, Jana, who went to the dentist today and is in a little bit of pain. Poor Jana.
Oh.
Hopefully we can distract you at least.
Yeah, by talking about your pain.
Yeah, I can't say we'll make it feel better, but...
You're going to forget it in no time at all. What with all that agony in the side of your mouth? Which side is it? Left, right? Left side? Left, right? Is it left, right? Your left, right jaw.
The left, right jaw. Mark and Davin.
Loads of people on a Friday.
And Lukey was around earlier trying to put chocolate into his laptop. And now he's disappeared, so I don't know whether that means he was successful.
I think he probably was. Did he say why?
Well, he had Milky Bar buttons and he wanted to share.
With his machine. With us.
With us.
Okay. Oh, bless him.
Oh, and Ryan as well.
Hello, Ryan. Oh, right. We're going to talk. I love Ryan. What a great column. Did you read his column this week?
I did, yeah.
Oh, what a fantastic column. If you're here and you haven't read Ryan's column from yesterday, I think it was one of his best ones. I really, really enjoyed it. Go read it after the show. Not right now, though. I should have plugged it at the end of the show, shouldn't I?
Maybe you still can.
Mm.
There's still time.
I'll forget.
We haven't actually started yet. So, have we got... Enough
hey,
to
Dan.
About. Oh, God.
Hello, Dan. You missed Dan off the roll call.
Hi, Dan.
Hello, Dan.
Sorry.
Go on. I'm good to go. I'm happy. I'm chilled. I'm relaxed. It's Friday. It's dark. I've got my Red Bull. Let's talk about some Formula One.
I don't think I'm relaxed and I've got my Red Bull fit in the same sentence together. My question to you, young man, is I said I don't have a start to the show.
Mm.
And you said, that's okay. You can think of one. While we play the intro, and then you gave me a chore to do.
So you haven't thought of an intro?
Not a chore, task, that's the word, to do. So I wasn't thinking of an intro, I was editing a picture.
I want to talk. Okay, let me start this then. I will just make this up as I go along. Let us talk. That was terrible. I ruined it. That was it. That was my one moment. My shining. There you go. That was me.
Well done.
Ad living. Friday, Monza, Italy, Formula One, fantastic. What do you make of today's practice?
Oh, for a minute then I thought we were going to do the whole show in just words. One word at a time.
Single.
Not putting sentences together.
Uh-huh. Don't evade the subject. Sorry. What do you make of practice today?
Well, practice...
It was dry.
It was beautifully sunny compared to last week, which wasn't. Let's just leave it at that, really. Mm. It was interesting. I think that, I've read up on it, but I didn't watch any of it.
Now, we must discuss this, actually. This is important discussion point number one, I think.
Okay.
Today, we made an executive decision to downscale our live event coverage from 3 individual practice sessions to the 1 encompassing practice session live thread. Not a massive change in the world of Formula One. It didn't exactly send shockwaves through the paddock, but it is important to us because the impetus of this change was not that many people are paying much attention to free practice this season.
No, we did this last season when we had 1 thread for every session and then we decided to put all 3 into 1. But then we made the events really easy to do. Mm. I mean, it takes 5 minutes to put one together. That was the whole point of making it super simple. But even with the ease of it, it still doesn't seem worth having 3 separate ones.
It doesn't take us any effort now, but it you still require some comments in the thread to make the thread's purpose, you know, in life. Otherwise, there's no point in having that thread. And bless Will, and I think there was one other person. Was it
Dreamland?
Dreamland, name escaping then. I think Will and Dreamland were the only 2 people in the comments today. It was very, very quiet, despite the fact it wasn't raining and there was more than 4 laps going on. Not too many people were around, and it does seem excessive to have 1 thread per comment, which was sort of the way it was going today. I don't know why the fire has gone out of free practice.
Yeah, because the point here is not boohoo, we're having less comments, it's... Huh, that's interesting. Why is free practice less important to people these days? Now, I mean, there are lots of reasons. It's on a Friday. People work. I work. So I can't watch it anymore. But then I was thinking, would I be watching it if I wasn't at work? If I had the day off and I was watching it? I don't know if I would. I might try and watch a little bit, but not enough to be dedicated in the comments, updating every single lap in a fact-by-fact box style.
Well, it's worth adding at this point, we have seen record numbers of comments in the qualifying threads and the race threads this year. So that there isn't a problem in terms of general popularity of Formula One or also podcast, you know, in itself. There are lots more people viewing, lots more people taking part. The fact-by-fact box is more popular than ever. But on Fridays, it is down. And you're right, in the past, I've made time at lunchtime when I'm at work or, you know, by taking days off to make sure that I catch the action on a Friday. This year, really not that bothered. Partly, there is the issue that we only get half the races. We only get to see half the races. So therefore, you only get to see half the practice sessions. And in the UK, this race happens to be covered by Sky. It's not free to air. And so that might be part of the problem. But still, it does feel like there's not the... there isn't the motivation or the desire to watch these sessions in case something important happens, because it so rarely does.
Will has said that the last 4 were rainy or even more rainy, which obviously doesn't make for good viewing. Mm. And Dreamland said tyre saving is the problem. But I don't think tyre saving is that extreme in practice, is it?
They should dispose of their Friday tyres. And Saturday will be a problem. But on Friday, they give them back to the Pirelli, or they used to.
Yeah, so and they all have the same amount. There's no advantage to be gained from saving.
You can't use a Friday tyre during a race, can you? So it's that shouldn't be a major issue. I think Will could be onto something with the fact that if you have so many rained off Friday sessions, you sort of just forget. You get out of the habit of it. It doesn't become... And also, don't forget, we've had such a long break. I mean, there was a race last weekend and there was a race this weekend, but prior to that, there was 5 races, 5 weekends effectively with no racing.
Yeah, I've forgotten how to do it.
People have just forgotten to turn up, maybe. Maybe that's the problem. But so for this race, for this weekend, We are down to one thread. I got some great...
But I was just going to say that I don't think it makes too much difference. I think it was also Will, because he was manning the free practice threads, said that actually it might be better that way, because there are stories that overlap, like free practice one and free practice two. They happen on the same day. You might be referencing things that are in the same thread. So actually, it might be better that way.
Interesting. Okay, that could work. I got some great suggestions and thoughts and feedback on Twitter. I didn't keep a record of them. Have you got a record of them? Nodding in audio doesn't work, by the way.
Sorry. Dry throat. My bad. Well, you're lucky I'm such a good secretary. I have a record of a few of them. Amy said she didn't watch any free practice last weekend and didn't feel like she'd missed anything. But then there wasn't much to miss, to be fair, last weekend.
Mm.
Maybe just that 1 hour. Michael said, you used to be able to tell the field in about thirds. Now it's meaningless to quali or race results.
This is because we get a mixed up season. And therefore, you don't know, even going into qualifying, who's going to be fast and who's going to be slow.
Yeah.
And therefore, there's no sense in watching on Friday and studying the performance of the various
cars. It really is just watching cars going round and seeing what happens to them. But you can't really compare them to each other. That is interesting. Lisa said, there's too many races. I can just about swing 20 Saturdays and Sundays, but it's hard to add all the Fridays too. Also a good point. And Stuart finished up with, perhaps people are finally realising it doesn't warrant the attention that has been lavished upon it in recent years.
So, okay, that I can't argue with that either, because...
Maybe we all built it up too much.
Mm. But we built it up because we enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And now it's not.
Maybe it was
problem.
The novelty of the thing.
Because it was suddenly being broadcast on television and it hadn't been in the past.
Suddenly being broadcast, we could all suddenly talk about it together via SciPodcast or Twitter or whatever. And now it's not so much of a novelty anymore.
It took 3 years to wear off, but finally.
Maybe.
Finally we had enough.
Then again, maybe next year it'll all be different and it will be fantastic to watch free practice and everyone will be taking days off work to sit on their sofas and watch it. You just don't know with these things.
It definitely feels different this year. Definitely. And it's tailing off. It's feeling like, you know, at the start of the year it was more important and now it's less important to me as a concept. What I do like doing, coming home and watching the highlights on the television, catching up, which is what we did today. We came home from work and we caught up with free practice. And having watched the highlights and having described them in F1 Minute, what do you make of what happened?
Well, really, the thing that stands out to me, we talk a lot about how rubbish my memory is. And the one thing I always forget about Monza until we get there is that stupid slalomy bit where they miss the corner and they have to go through the chicane because they're not allowed to run straight down the track.
This is it, they the first all do corner. It. You don't like the means of slowing cars down and preventing them from cutting the corner.
I mean, I understand why it's there and I don't know...
This does seem like an odd thing to object to me.
I don't know why. It just drives me absolutely crazy.
Do you have something against polystyrene in general?
I don't know what it is. I don't know. It's just because they look so stupid going weaving... Oh, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Alrighty. You don't... Yeah, fine. Well, that's kind of... Shows how nimble the cars are. You rarely get to see a car slalom.
That is true. Maybe if it was a bit longer and a bit more of an obstacle course, that would be more fun. But I don't know. Anyway.
Downhill with a bit of a jump.
Alonso missed that one and he was like, I'm not having any of this slalom nonsense. He went on the grass and carried straight on. So he's my new hero.
Credit to him. Okay. So he just, the sign said go right, then left, and he went around a whole lot of it.
Yeah. I'm not having any of that. But he wasn't having a very good day. The car, I think, came to a halt at least once, maybe twice. Lots of gearbox and brake trouble.
It's it's an unusual amount of problems the guy had. I mean, you rarely see one team have so many issues in such a short space of time. But there was an engine issue, there was a brake issue, and there was a gearbox issue on that Ferrari all in one session. At one point, Massa was benched so they could check out his car, make sure there was nothing wrong with that. On that side of the garage. Not quite sure what's going on. It's been a reliable chassis all season, and then suddenly they turn up at their home race and it suddenly starts looking very Italian.
It has been reliable, and the gearbox is giving up today. But I do think that the gearboxes all over the place seem to be this season not as good. I don't know. Everyone seems to be getting gearbox penalties all the time. In Germany, Mark Webber and Nico Rosberg both got gearbox penalties, 5 places on the grid. In Belgium, Mark Webber and Nico Rosberg both got exactly the same penalties. What's that, 2 races later?
Is there that much development, innovation and time to be gained from working on gearboxes in Formula One. Is this one of the only remaining areas for research and development to go on? Is that what's happening? Are people pushing the limits of the gearboxes? We know for a fact that Williams have an incredibly small gearbox because we've seen the back of the back end of the car is effectively missing. Are other teams looking at the Williams and going, actually, you know, they're pretty damn good. That gearbox is doing a really good job. It got Pastor Maldonado up to third place on the grid before his penalty at the last Grand Prix. Maybe that's what it is. They're pushing the limits. I mean, Red Bull, we know, like to push every single regulation they can, they stretch every regulation to its maximum. And Mercedes, they brought a new gearbox. They redeveloped the gearbox mid-season. It was in Monaco. They brought new developments to that box. And
well, that hasn't worked well for them, has it?
It's not working at all well for them, no. Whether or not it's made them faster, I don't know. But it's certainly made them less reliable. It seems like an unusual place, an unusual part of the car to have so many issues so often, especially when it's an homologated part that should, you know, you should have... it's not homologated, is it? Or is it? Is it homologated or is it frozen?
Long life.
It's frozen, yeah. That's the word I'm looking for. It's a long life part that has to last for, what, 5 Grand Prix?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know where this is coming from, but you are correct.
And is it still true that they get one free gearbox change without getting a penalty? Because if that is true, I know it used to be like that. I can't remember if it is this year or not. But if it's still true, then there's even more that we probably don't know about.
Well, in the comments, Lukey said someone keeps nicking the cogs.
Oh.
Somebody definitely nicked 6th gear from Michael Schumacher in Spa.
Yes.
So I wouldn't be surprised if he has some more repercussions of that this coming weekend. Because, you know, if you finish the Grand Prix with one of your gears missing, the damage that you could potentially do to that box, you know, the numerous issues he could face in the next race. Anything else on gearboxes?
Not on gearboxes.
Anything
no.
else on today?
I can do this. Also, I noticed today in my truly observant style that there were two different new names in Free Practice 1.
And they were?
Jerome D'Ambrosio.
And?
And Ma Ching-Hua.
You can say that. I heard you say...
Yeah, I'm not confident, but I'll give it a go.
One minute. Yes, okay, so Jerome, then.
Yeah, he's there.
In which car?
He is in a Lotus.
Because?
Because Romain Grosjean is not in a Lotus this week.
Because
he crashed.
Because
he's stupid. All right, what do you want me to say?
To himself and others, I think, is the reason that he's not in that car.
Yep.
Talk to me then about your favourite driver causing all sorts of havoc in Belgium.
Yeah.
What do you make of that then, Christine?
Well, I make of it that he's slightly less my favourite driver, although they did show footage of him coming into the circuit today to watch, which breaks my heart. It does. Just coming in to sit at the sides and watch someone else drive your car because you ruined it. I think that the penalty is fair enough if it was quite dangerous driving, and it does make sense to ban him, but it just seems totally inconsistent with everything else. Because there are other drivers.
Other drivers? You can name them.
Well, I think everyone knows.
Go on.
Okay, there are other drivers like Pastor Maldonado who are crashing a lot as well, and who are... It's kind of the difference between just being stupid and being obnoxiously stupid.
Okay.
To my mind.
Romain Grosjean has...
But I don't begrudge the penalty because I understand why they've done it.
Yes. Well, Lotus don't begrudge the penalty because they didn't appeal. Romain didn't appeal. He says it will almost certainly make him a better driver. I think that in the pack, at the start of the race, when he's amongst a lot of other cars, Romain positions his chassis in a way that I think other drivers don't necessarily expect. I know that in Belgium he travelled the entire width of the start straight in one sweeping move, which is an aggressive manoeuvre and an unusual thing to do when there are so many cars together heading it, you know, all heading to the same corner at the same time. And I think if you watch back on some of his previous issues or previous accidents he's had in the opening laps of the Grand Prix, it's not that he's a particularly bad driver in the same way that Pastor Maldonado, you know, you question what he's actually doing. I just think that he's putting his car in places that other drivers wouldn't put their car, and he's doing it faster and more aggressively than perhaps he needs to, because, you know, a couple of times he's caught a driver's back wheel or the back of the car, sent them, tipped them into a spin or given them a puncher this year, just because they're making their move, and they're expecting other drivers to make certain moves, and the Romain isn't really fitting in with that mould.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. You see what I'm saying?
I do. The BBC had a montage of all his first lap incidents, and everyone is making a big deal of how there have been 7 or 8 of them or 23 million of them. And there have been quite a lot, but a couple of them are just actually banging wheels with someone and bouncing off. And that happens all the time. Mm. And then a few of them have been questionable. And the one last week was terrible. But then, you know, Pasta, and I rag on him all the time and it's not fair, but he is getting penalties all the time. And if you are constantly, isn't there a fact that he's only been not in the steward's office at one race?
Mm, this season.
I mean, how is that possible that they don't think to look at him and say, well, actually, of all the drivers that need a ban?
Well, it's good that the stewards have decided to draw a line in the sand. And they've made their point now. The trick that they have to pull off is to be consistent and stick with that. And if anybody else, whoever they may be, drives in a similar manner, they should get a similar penalty. Do you think that benching Romain will make him a better driver? Do you think it will make a difference?
I think it will make a difference because he seems like the kind of person that might learn from it.
Mm. Notably, previous drivers who have had a similar penalty, they include Mika Häkkinen, Schumacher, the controversial one, Teddy Turbine.
I have never heard that before.
He's had a penalty. So you've got, the list of drivers who have been set aside for at least one Grand Prix is numerous in years gone by, but hasn't happened for quite some time in our sort of, at least inside podcast history.
I think, because actually, it's a harsh penalty, not particularly in this instance, but as a penalty, taking a driver out of a race is quite a harsh thing to do. But it's not the end of the world. He'll come back, he'll be fine, it's all good. But I think it's just so shocking because of everything else we've seen this year and previously. And we haven't seen bans in such a long time. I mean, I don't remember the last time I saw a ban. Was it Button, maybe? And that wasn't even his fault? I don't know.
The Honda gearbox saga, you might be right, actually. Maybe the last time that two drive... Yeah, I mean, that was Button and Takuma Sato were both taken out of two races. But yeah, I mean, it has been a long time. I think it's going to do him the world of good, and I suspect actually it's probably going to do Pasta the world of good, because I think he's looking at that penalty thinking, well, I really don't want that to happen to me.
We can hope.
I mean, all you can hope for, I think. I know you're not a fan of Pasta.
Really?
Maldonado. I can tell that.
I thought I'd kept that quite quiet.
I have to say, though, the guy did a brilliant job in qualifying in Belgium. I mean, you look at his teammate, Bruno Senna. Where did Bruno Senna finish in Belgium? Was it like 17th? Sorry, where did he start? Not where did he finish? Where did he start in Belgium?
I think it was 15th or something like that, yeah.
So the guy is he's barely scraping through to Q2 in a Williams chassis that Pastor Maldonado is proving to be capable of ending up in the top three. Now, Mr. Maldonado didn't keep that place because of a penalty that he brought on himself. But the car, the chassis, the man is driving that car on the ragged edge. And look what he's doing with that Williams. That's fantastic to see. And if it wasn't for him, we'd be looking at Bruno Senna and a teammate potentially driving around and finishing 16th and 17th. And we're going, yeah, that Williams is the same old Williams.
Yeah.
Nothing's changing. As bad as Pastor Maldonado is at finishing a race in the points without a penalty, he's really, 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 really good at driving that car damn fast.
Yeah,
and that is true. Have to give him credit for that. I really do, because I love Williams. I really like Williams. I want them to do well. I want them to make a fast car and to be up as mixing it with the top teams. And in qualifying in Belgium, in Pastor Maldonado's hands, that's what they were doing, and that's good to see.
Interesting. I'm not quite ready to revisit my thought on where I said they're bringing him. He's bringing them money, but also disrepute.
Mm.
But if he does show that it's a quick car, then that would
I just think, you know, Bruno, I like Bruno Senna. He seems like a really nice guy, but my God, he's slow. Isn't he? On a single lap, quite, you know, a single lap.
Williams have a bit of a habit of getting really nice drivers, but they're quite slow.
You want to name any names?
Well, no.
You're not that
people
brave.
That you'd really just don't want to go, but you can see that, yeah, they're maybe not going to stick around as long as you might like.
Will in the comments asked a question that I think you know, this might be one for you to tackle. Is the pace that Pastor Maldonado gets out of his Williams, is that similar to what Fernando Alonso drags out of that Ferrari, especially at the beginning of the season when the Ferrari wasn't very fast? I mean, Alonso got the absolute maximum out of what he had under him. And I'd say Pastor, he's doing something similar to that Williams, isn't he?
Potentially, except for the small difference in that, was it not until this last race that Alonso had a massive string of points finishes and Maldonado had potential to get points but kept crashing away from it?
Yes, fine. He's thrown, I mean, on the last lap in Australia, for example, he's thrown away plenty of points, but, Fernando Alonso has many, many, many more races and years of experience.
Yes, that's true.
And you know, who's to say
that? I don't
know
if they are comparable, are they?
Yeah, I can see what we're saying. What you're saying is you've got a car that's actually... Whereas I'm suggesting that Pastor is driving the Williams to its limit, he's suggesting he's actually driving it beyond the limit, and the Williams isn't really a third-placed car. It's just that Pastor has the ability to drag that much pace out of it. In the same way that the Ferrari isn't a championship-leading car, but in Fernando Alonso's hands, it is leading the championship. In Felipe Massa's hands, it isn't.
Well, that is a similarity, so I will
you've
grant
got,
you.
Yeah, you've got that. You've got one team. I mean, there is a huge difference between the points of Fernando Alonso and Massa, and there was a huge difference between the places of Pastor Maldonado and Bruno Senna in qualifying in Belgium. But actually, I think Senna is pretty damn close to Mr. Maldonado in terms of points in the championship.
Will would like to point out that it really pains him to have to ask the question in the first place. So.
I think we are harsh. What's the word for it? It's not harsh. We have been and will continue to be incredibly critical of a certain Williams driver's approach to Formula One. On the other hand, it doesn't mean we can't also appreciate what he is good at. It's all right to say, okay, he's terrible at this and he really needs to change his attitude, but that doesn't mean he's not also really, really fast. And if he could just, you know, round off the edges of his driving aggression, that he couldn't become a pretty competitive package.
And we've seen that in many drivers before. Felipe Massa was mental until Rob managed to mould him into something championship worthy. Even Kamui Kobayashi used to have a reputation and now has managed to turn that reputation into something a little bit better.
What is much harder, much, much harder, and there may be less examples of this, is to take a driver who's not particularly fast and make them faster. And I think if you were Frank Williams and you were looking at Bruno Senna, I reckon you'd be questioning how you can make him quicker. Because we in Hungary, I recall saying, I think Bruno Senna's turned a corner. I think he's going to, you know, I think the end of his season is going to be much better than the beginning of his season. And that didn't last more than a race. And that might be a problem. We'll see what he does this weekend. Maybe, you know, he might be a Jenson Button. Hot and cold. You know, win a race, don't finish a race, win a race, come 15th. That could be Bruno Senna's season. Or it could be that he just isn't very fast.
Yeah,
I'll take that. Steven nailed it with that comment.
Seems more interested in rounding off the edges. Right. Is that enough of
That's okay for Romain. I've got nothing else to mention on that, okay. I think. Anything else in the comments? Who said that Pastor was likely to finish the season with more points on his license than the championship table? I wish I could talk and read the comments at the same time. Ah, genius. Right.
So we've done that. We need to talk about Sir Lewis of Hamilton.
Give me a lead in. Where do you want to go and what do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about a less controversial subject, a less controversial driver even, and that would be Lewis Hamilton.
Oh, good God.
And
that's, it's come to something when Lewis Hamilton is the least or is less controversial than other drivers on the grid. That man used to be Mr. Controversy.
Yes. We recently, I think, we praised how he had taken to Twitter with much gusto. He was taking pictures. He was doing a whole day in the life of me thing at the track, and it was brilliant. And then he said something perhaps a bit questionable, but didn't let it get him down, and he carried on. And that was good. That was commendable. But now it seems that on the Twitter and things, he's gone... Well, he's gone rogue.
He's...
Let's be honest
rogue
about
in
it.
Rogue in the sense that it's not very McLaren-esque. Is that what you mean?
Let's be honest about it.
I mean, he's not going around killing people, is he? It's not that kind of rogue. It's not Hollywood rogue.
It's Twitter rogue. If anyone else in the team had posted telemetry, they would have been fired.
Yeah.
Unless it was Martin Whitmarsh someone.
If Jenson Button did, he wouldn't have been fired.
Really?
Yeah, they wouldn't fire Jenson Button for that.
I don't think Jenson would, because, I don't know, just doesn't seem the type. But, yeah, because he doesn't seem the type to be like, I'm doing everything I can, it's just the car. I am just as good as my teammate, promise.
So, okay, but backtrack 1 second.
But I'm writing.
Prior to Lewis Hamilton... tweeting his telemetry, which incidentally he did very kindly for us as we were live during the recent parade lap, which was great of Lewis to think of us and give us something to discuss. But prior to that, it felt like the guy's going through some contract negotiations for his future at McLaren, and it's been ongoing. They've been very long and very drawn out, and I think we've been talking about it for almost the whole of this season. He's due for his contract is up for renewal. He needs to know where he's going in his future. He needs to know where he's going to be. He wants to be in a team that helps him win championships. He's good enough. We know he's good enough to win world championships. He's one of the best drivers on the grid. He should be in a team that can give him the best shot at a title. McLaren are one of those teams, but there are others. Potential options for him. There is a sticking point, I think, with McLaren's insistence that Lewis or that any of their drivers don't keep their original trophies that they win. They get copies and McLaren put them in a bunker.
I think
is a great idea, actually, because, you know, I mean, if you're a driver, you just put them in your house or whatever. They're not very secure. You're going to move house. You're going to drop them. Drivers in the past have used them as doorstops. You know, there's not a lot of care and attention lavished on trophies from a driver's point of view, particularly. You know, each one differs, but generally, you know, in the past there have been maybe some less care given to such things. McLaren absolutely will take the very best care. It will probably be in a dust-free environment. They will be cleaned daily. You know, it will be fantastic. They will be looked after. They will be cared for. And the drivers get an identical copy. So essentially, you can't really tell the difference anyway. It's made by the same people who make them. On top of that, most Formula One trophies these days look like the Santander logo.
You've seen one and seen them all.
Seen them all. Who gives a damn anyway? Look, from Lewis's point of view, Olympians get to keep their gold medals. Why shouldn't he keep his championship trophies? McLaren, that's not an option to McLaren. And in something that he feels is, you know, personally important to him. Doesn't seem to bother. Jensen hasn't bothered previous drivers. So if that really is an issue, then I'm not entirely sure how that's going to get resolved other than by moving to another team.
Yeah. I can't see him at another team though. He's just so McLaren and always has been.
But he isn't. He's gone rogue.
But he has gone rogue.
In the last 2 weeks, he really hasn't been so McLaren.
No.
He's been tweeting some slightly rude phrases. You know, the things that if your team are making a cartoon aimed at children, and you're in that cartoon, and you're being marketed to the next generation of Formula One fans, you possibly don't want to go tweeting some of the phrases that Lewis Hamilton has been tweeting in this past 2 weeks. It's very non-McLaren. And I'm thinking, from what he's tweeting, that he doesn't particularly care if the team don't appreciate him as much as they used to. Because maybe he might be going somewhere else. He doesn't sound like, he doesn't tweet as though he's a driver who's happy where he is and is planning to stay there, does he?
It's hard to say. Was it on that parade lap where it was Giggles that was saying that he's saying this is me, this is how I am, and so if we are going to do a deal, you're going to have to take me or leave me like I am, which is an interesting idea. But The thing I hadn't particularly thought about in this, there's been lots of talk about where he could go. He could be, he couldn't really be at Ferrari next to Alonso. That would be, well, that would be amazing. He couldn't, there's talk about him going to Mercedes, but I personally can't really see that happening. But if he did leave, there would be a nice Lewis-shaped hole at McLaren.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who would fill it.
Alonso.
I had never thought of it.
Alonso, see, his,
Alonso wouldn't go back to McLaren in a thousand years.
No, he wouldn't. Not in a minute. No, not at all. Okay. Well, first, before, yeah, okay. Let's do that. Who, Lewis Hamilton has left McLaren. Who's going to fill that void? Who's going to be Jenson Button's teammate?
Everyone's been saying where Hamilton would go.
Already, I'm predicting a comment from Lukey.
Yeah.
No, not him. Not Let's happen. Not bring him back.
Yeah, everyone's been saying where Hamilton is going to go, but I'd never considered what would be left behind. Who'd be a good teammate for Button? They've been such good teammates, and they do make such a good team until this information was shared that might have ruined it a little bit. I hadn't considered.
My question would be, I guess, if Lewis Hamilton ends up at Mercedes, which I think would be the best solution for Lewis, where would either Nico Hülkenberg or Paul di Resta go? Because at the moment, they are both competing in Force India with an eye on Michael Schumacher's seat when Michael Schumacher leaves.
Right? Yeah.
So that both of those drivers, that's going to mess with their potential future. You've got a seat. If Lewis Hamilton can't go to Ferrari, because you can't match up Alonso and Lewis Hamilton.
Oh, I wish he could.
You've still got the potential that Massa may not be there. So you can either have di Resta or Hulk at Ferrari, or one of them could go to McLaren. So there's a lot of musical chairs to be moved around if Lewis Hamilton makes that move. Obviously, if Lewis Hamilton goes to Mercedes, that's the end of Michael Schumacher. That's worth bearing in mind. There's an awful lot of things to be shifted around. The most important quote I've read in the past week, I think, is from Ross Brawn, who noted that, forget next year, is going to be much like this year in terms of the pecking order, who's where, what's going on, etc.
Team-wise.
Yeah. Performance-wise, whatever. Yeah. What you want to keep an eye on, and what drivers who are signing long-term career contracts will definitely be keeping an eye on, is what happens in 2014 when Formula One moves to a new engine formula, which will favour manufacturers who build engines. That's going to be worth keeping in mind. So you've got Renault,
Mercedes,
and Ferrari. Really, they're the threat. They're the main ones. There could be more. More could come into the sport, but those teams are going to have an advantage that maybe McLaren, who don't build their own engine, won't. You know, McLaren may not have that advantage because they are effectively a customer team, and Lewis might want to keep that in mind. So, I think Ross Brawn could be onto something. Could be, you know, Lewis to Mercedes might have some logic to it if you were looking very long term. If you're looking short term, doesn't make a lot of sense, but longer term, the order is going to be shaken up as new rules and regulations come in.
So the real question is, how long term can Lewis look?
Well, it has to be very long term. Or you think he might take a 1-year deal with somebody and then move somewhere else?
I don't think anything, but I love it. You know, what I find interesting is that in previous seasons, I've been like, oh, this silly season. It's fascinating up to a point, and then just, oh, shut up about it. I don't want to know. But this year, I'm really into it. Like, oh, who could go where? This could be really exciting. And actually, I don't think any of it's going to happen. I think Lewis is going to stay at McLaren and no one's going to move. But
hold on then.
I really
hold
like
on,
the...
Even that statement is a loaded statement.
Oh.
If
it wasn't
you think
to
Lewis
me.
Hamilton is going to stay at McLaren, how long do you think he's going to stay there for?
Well, I don't
12 months?
No.
3 years? 4 years?
I don't know, but I do like. I think it's better when drivers have just 1-year contracts, because then it makes each silly season more interesting instead of these people that sign up for 7 years and you've got to wait 7 years before anything happens.
What's unusual, I think.
Weber's got the right idea.
Weber's got the right idea.
I didn't think I'd say that today.
That's a first. Weber has no choice, mostly, with his 1-year contract. Red Bull says, do you want to stay for a year? Yeah. Do you want to stay for a year?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not him having the right idea at all. It's the only thing that's been offered to him. What's interesting from a side podcast point of view is this is the first time, perhaps since we started, that Fernando Alonso isn't the key through the silly season. Normally it's where's Fernando going to go, and then everybody else will move around. Now it is.
I thought it was Alonso up until, wasn't it Kubica last year?
I don't think it was Kubica, was it?
Oh, I thought there was a year where it wasn't Alonso, but it has been him dominating recently.
For the first time, it is Lewis Hamilton who is the centerpiece of it all. And we shall see where he goes. Lewis is going to stay at McLaren forever and ever. Amen, says Stephen.
Gavin said, Lewis is tweeting telemetry on Twitter. How is that thinking long term? Good question.
Say that again, because I want to put that in the show and I'll answer that one. Say that again.
Davin has commented, Lewis is tweeting telemetry on Twitter. How is that thinking long term? Which is a very good question.
If you were another team and you were keeping an eye on Twitter, and the thing with Lewis's tweeting of this telemetry, it was the event that took Twitter mainstream in Formula One. In IndyCar and in NASCAR, you've had drivers taking pictures whilst driving and taking shots from the scene of an accident and things like that. They were the breakout moments of social media in those series. In Formula One, it was Lewis Hamilton giving away his team secrets via a social media site. That was the thing that, you know, that was the thing where Christian Horner went, hold on a second, I'm going to have to check Twitter.
Yeah.
Even, you know, that was the point when everybody in the paddock who wasn't on the social network went and found somebody who was very quickly. Interestingly enough, I'm not entirely sure that because it was McLaren, and because McLaren have this fantastic race control live system that they use and have used for the last, I think, at least 3 years, an awful lot of that information is available on the internet to anybody who's interested in real time as the cars are going around. And if rival teams aren't already consuming that McLaren data and making their own graphs and their own analysis, there's something very amiss with rival teams in Formula One, because that's a great opportunity to capture that data. And I suspect because it was McLaren, actually Lewis probably didn't give very much data away at all. If you were thinking of employing him, you might look at that and go, I wouldn't want that to happen to my team.
Yeah, I mean, Christian Horner said he'd had a good look at it. I mean, he was probably joking a little bit, but you know, I'm sure they all did look at it closely.
You'd be crazy not to at least give it the quick once over. The only person I think who lost out from all of that was Jenson Button, because essentially what Lewis was saying by tweeting it was, he's not as fast as you think he is really. It's all down to the car. And if I was Jenson Button, I'd be a bit miffed, but because, you know, he chose the right wing at the right time, and he drove it, the car, to pole position. And I'd be quite miffed if somebody put a tweet out that said, actually, it ain't you, mate.
Yeah, but I don't think he was that miffed for that long, because he did win the race, and Lewis Hamilton did not get a chance to do anything in the race. So in the end, karma will get you, I guess.
Good stuff. Love the comments. What else we got in the comments?
Ear is killing me.
Your ear is killing you?
Yeah.
Trust me, I know how that feels.
It's not that kind of killing.
What's wrong?
Smushed by my headphones. I think my ears can have grown in a week.
I think your head has gotten bigger.
Oh, that's not the answer I wanted to hear. Right, I'm going to have to reorganise my notes, so everyone just keep yourselves amused for a moment.
That's okay, I'm going to catch up with the comments, which I cannot read. I need a way to...
They are awesome today.
They are, I can't read
everyone
them all
is
and
on
talk.
Good form.
If I just stopped talking and read the comments, would that be bad?
That would be quite bad audio. So we haven't done that.
I wanted to catch a... Ryan said a comment earlier, and I wanted to catch... I lost it.
We'll go and find it. It'll still be there.
Hold on. It all makes sense, as Ryan. Massa leaves Ferrari. Perez goes back to Ferrari. Massa comes home.
Home as in goes
Sauber.
Home? Oh,
no, Sauber, right. I think he must mean. Hamilton leaves McLaren. Hock goes to McLaren. De Resta replaces Schumi. And
at
Hamilton
Mercedes.
Actually ends up at Force India. Hold on a second. Oh, no. There's a flaw. If De Resta is replacing Schumi, where did Hamilton go?
Where is it?
Hamilton leaves McLaren, but to where? Because Hulk's replaced him. Yeah, that doesn't work, because you've lost...
Massa leaves Ferrari.
Yeah,
Perez goes
sense.
To Ferrari.
Yep, so you've got space to Sauber.
Sauber. So they've just swapped.
Yeah.
Hamilton leaves McLaren.
But goes where?
Doesn't Hulk say. Goes to McLaren. DiResta replaces Schumi, so Force India have no drivers left. Hamilton ends up at Force India.
Right, in the shuffle. Yeah, it does make sense. Okay.
So we're missing Force Musical India chairs. Are missing one driver, and Mercedes, Schumi is retired again.
McLaren missing the driver. Oh, no, because they gained Hulk. Oh, my God. He has got it sus.
Yeah, that seems to make sense. Just Force India are missing one driver.
And they gained Lewis Hamilton.
Or they can have them. What's his face? Bianchi, is it? That's always turning up.
What, because he's the third driver, you mean?
Yeah, that's it. Ryan says it might not have been a serious comment, but that's the kind of stuff we like.
No, it's who goes where, what's it? I was trying to work out if he was onto something. I think he might actually be onto something.
It could work that way. But then that's Perez at Ferrari again, and I don't think that's going to happen yet. I'm worried that we're going to have Massa for another year because no one's ready to go to Ferrari yet.
I'm worried that we're going to have Massa for another year because nobody remembers that he still exists. Ferrari don't know they've got a second
driver.
They're
going to forget to fire him.
But they don't know that he's there. They don't even know they've got a second driver in the team anyway. That'll come as a surprise to them. He'll just end up going around because everyone forgot to fire him.
Oh, bless him. Poor Massa. See, Massa's another one. You'd really like him, but... Oh, dear. Okay, I have more topics.
Oh, good.
But this is an epically long show already. For a man that said we won't have anything to talk about.
You gave me two topics. You said, I've written the show notes at work from my head, and there was two topics. That's what you said.
What I choose to spend my lunch hour doing is none of your business. Okay.
Mark says, I don't think Hulk all the rest are that good. Did you see Hulk? I'll tell you what, Mark. Hold on a second. Have you read... Adam's column.
Oh, it was nearly Chris has
got a great column on where Lewis Hamilton's going to go. That could have been referenced in the previous discussion.
We just did that.
But Chris has a great article on how brilliant Hulk was in Belgium, and I thought Hulk was ace. Unfortunately, it was only one race, and I'm not entirely sure that he's going to repeat it, but we'll see.
Can we have a sweeper? We haven't had any sweepers yet.
Yeah.
Jingle fail. Compared to me and my parade lap jingling.
Listen, you can jingle.
Okay. Bring it.
Not now you can. But you could have. You could have said, I want to jingle today, and you could have jingled all the way.
I would. Okay, I would jingle all the way next time. I would like to change the subject completely now and actually rewind to before the Belgian Grand Prix, because there was a brief bit of news. It didn't last very long. It wasn't particularly interesting, but I wanted to bring it up because...
Sounds like a great subject. Yeah, it wasn't very long and it wasn't very interesting. This is my... Also, it was ages ago.
Okay, fine. Manicor said they're going to host a young driver test this month, but I don't like it. There are too many of these now. We've already had one. There's another one coming up. Now there's another one. I don't want them all. Why can't they all just go to one place?
Hold on, though. Isn't it good that the action is being spread out?
No.
No.
I don't like just one or two drivers. It's pointless.
You'd rather all the teams turned up in Abu Dhabi, miles away from anywhere, did a bunch of testing that nobody could track, and then vanish.
I'd rather that they were all at the same place, mm-hmm. and then I would be able to keep track of what's going on. The last one, it happened, and I barely even knew it was on. Because there's only one or two teams there. No one knows. No one notices. It's too hard.
So the last young driver test, was it Silverstone?
There were three, and then was it HRT went home? So there were only two on the last day.
Correct.
And they only have like one driver at a time. And it's just, I just can't keep up with it. I don't like them being split up.
The advantage to the teams being split up is that one rogue driver causing a red flag doesn't inhibit... everybody's day.
That's one
advantage. I quite like the idea of Manicor just popping up out of nowhere, because that's obviously been off the radar for some time, and as yet doesn't there isn't a French Grand Prix, and it has nothing to do with Formula One at the moment, so bringing Manicor back even in the most tenuous way is quite interesting.
That is the good news of it. I think they certainly want F1 back, because they made a big point of saying they had been homologated for another 4 years, and we want to show off our best side to all the F1 personnel that turn up.
It's news to me that Manicor has a best side.
Yeah.
It's a bit flat.
It's not going to be that many F1 personnel turning up, because they're all going to Abu Dhabi.
Well
not all of them.
Who is left? How many people, how many teams are going to Manukau? Is it two more teams?
I think
three?
It was three. I can't remember it exactly because, like I said, it was a while ago. It was like Red Bull and...
And that leaves you, what, six teams in Abu Dhabi?
Yeah, I just don't like it.
I don't agree with your reasons for not liking it. I have to say, I think I disagree with your reasoning.
I think I just like it to be more of an event. Because, you know,
it is an event. In
previous years, it's been like an event, this young driver test. We've looked at who all the young drivers are, and then next season, it's like, oh, yes, they were there and they were there. When it's all spread out, I can't do massive who are they anyway posts with who all these drivers are. And it just doesn't work as well for me.
It's much harder to pitch drivers against each other because you couldn't say, for example, this Williams, you know, the driver in the Williams compared well against the driver in the Lotus. Because potentially they happen at two different events on two different days at two different times of the year. There's more risk involved because the Silverstone test could have been a washout for everybody who gambled on running there. Luckily, they had some reasonable weather and got a lot of miles in, so that was okay. There's nothing to say that it won't rain in Manukau. I think your odds on it's going to be okay in Abu Dhabi.
If it rains, can they just say, no, we didn't want to go there anyway. We were always going to go to Abu Dhabi.
No. But from a financial point of view, if you're looking to cut costs and save money and your trucks are driving from Italy past Manukau, why not just stop off and have a bit of a run?
Fine, but can't they all stop off at the same time?
Well, no, because Stroy already ran at Silverstone.
Well, they ruined it.
And other teams don't want to take... I imagine the holdout teams actually just want to run at Abu Dhabi because it's known. They've got good data. They know it will be dry. The cars will be... Will they be there? Where does the season end? The season ends in Brazil. The cars have got to go back there.
Yeah.
So, okay, that costs more money to go to Abu Dhabi, but you're guaranteed it's not going to rain there. It's never going to rain there. You've got perfectly good facilities. It's a new track. It's great tarmac. I don't see any reason, you know, there's no bad downside to running except for costs in Abu Dhabi. I like the idea of Manukau. I like the idea of Silverstone. If the Silverstone test had been better publicised, people could have gone to it. That would have been nice.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like people, fans, French fans, can go to Manukau unless I've missed something. I haven't seen any announcement or tickets or any kind of promotion. It's like a low-cost solution for fans to see Formula One cars. Grand Prix are notoriously expensive. Testing is much more affordable. And I think testing should be promoted as a fan-friendly event, and it doesn't. They seem to have missed that opportunity completely. Maybe the teams just don't get that at all.
It should be even more affordable if you're seeing drivers that you've never heard of, but their potential for the future. It's always fun looking back now and saying, "Oh, we saw them then, and they were brand new."
Well, that's why people like GP2.
Yeah,
I know this is going to come as a shock to you. You know, if you're into like young drivers and up and coming teams and that kind of thing, and if you've got time for more motorsport in your life, then
I think it's probably not to that extent. I like looking, you know, once a year, one test.
You can cope a couple with of young drivers. This is what it is.
Yeah,
you can cope with young drivers for 3 days a year.
Yeah.
And the rest of the time you just care about Formula One.
Yeah.
Interesting. I think Lukey's got Abu Dhabi Tourette's, by the way.
Why?
He just goes, hotel!
Oh.
And you're going, that's it.
does it never ever rain in Abu Dhabi?
Oh, it probably does.
You said
not very often. It probably rains at night.
It's never ever going to rain.
I've never seen rain in Abu Dhabi. I could be wrong. I don't actually know what its climate's like. I'm just guessing. I mean, it would be amusing if there was a young driver test in Silverstone and it was dry, and there was a young driver test in Manukau and it was dry, and then they all went to Abu Dhabi and it rained. Yeah. That would make your life.
So
I was listing all his good features. Yeah. Oh, goodness me.
It has nice colour. It's got the nice blue. Doesn't it have the nice blue?
You don't even know. You're not even confident that it's got a nice blue,
are
you? I
was worried then that I was thinking of Paul Ricard, but I think they both do.
Paul Ricard has nice blue...
lines.
Yeah, no, they both... Oh, you're not talking about the hotel. You're talking about the lines on the track.
Yeah.
They did... Abu Dhabi stole the asphalt decor from Ricard.
The asphalt decor?
Yeah.
Wow, they did. That's a business.
I don't know why they did that, why they couldn't come up with their own.
There's so many colours.
16 million, the human eye can see.
Oh, God. You and your facts.
And Abu Dhabi...
How do you know it's exactly the same colour? It might be a shade off.
Yeah.
A shade off. Mm. It's like a dance off, but different.
Yes. It's the only thing I can compliment Bahrain about, actually, is their nice runoff areas. Their colour of their runoff areas. I really like them. Original. Unique. You can't remember them.
No. Nope.
Okay.
But I remember the palm trees that didn't grow properly.
Wasn't that Abu Dhabi?
No.
Okay. You sure?
No.
Okay.
Okay, let's move on. All I have left.
Stephen is finding the actual climate of Abu Dhabi. Does it ever rain? That's all I need to know.
Including annual rainfall.
Okay.
Amazing.
Just because it...
Surely everywhere in the world must get rain at some point.
No.
Except maybe the Antarctic, where it's all snow.
Desert. You wouldn't get rain in the desert, otherwise it wouldn't be a desert.
Isn't Abu Dhabi in the desert?
You're asking me geography now. It was once a desert, but then they reclaimed it. No, what did they do? It is sand, isn't it? It's a massive sand pit. I don't know.
It's a massive sand pit.
Yeah.
Oh, we should do a geography show. That would be fun. Yeah, the only thing I have left is some random Jean Todt thing. But I think we almost touched upon that in your 2014 regulations and that.
Name dropping Toddy.
I have nothing to say about that because I don't know what it's about. And then the only other thing is to look ahead to the weekend.
You brushed over James Key as well.
James Key. I must have accidentally deleted that when I was moving things around.
You accidentally deleted James King.
Yeah, well, let's do it then. I've forgotten. It happens.
Very briefly, talk to me about James Key. He was at Sauber. He then left Sauber. He went on gardening leave for a bit. He's now allowed to come back to Formula One, and he's been announced at Toro Rosso. Good news, bad news, indifferent.
I like that you say, talk to me about James Key, and then you do the whole story yourself. I'm the one that does the story.
Okay, tell me some facts about James Key.
James Key is now at Toro Rosso after being at Sauber. Oh, you've done that.
Yeah.
What I thought was annoying is that Toro Rosso said Giorgio Ascanelli is gone, which we all knew anyway, but they just announced it finally. And then the next day, yay, James Key is here. Oh, why do they do that?
That's how you make the most out of your marketing and PR, and gain the most headlines from the minimum amount of news.
Yeah. Really, I don't have much to say on the James Key side of it. What I did find fascinating was that Giorgio Ascanelli has left because he didn't like the design direction. I mean, what does that mean?
The car was slow and he didn't like that he copped the blame for it, I would assume. James Key has the potential to turn it around. What was most amusing in the entire Toro Rosso saga of the last couple of weeks was that prior to the last race, they said, well, we've given up with this year's car. We've given up with the development of it. It's not what we want to do. We're going to concentrate on next year. Then they got one of the best finishes of the season.
Yeah, they both did brilliantly.
Yeah.
Jean-Eric Vergne even did well in qualifying. Amazing.
It was a track that particularly suited their car, just as they'd thrown in the towel of this season, which was unfortunate. And it almost shows how little they understand their car, because they really don't know when it's going to be fast. And that's the problem. It's unpredictable. It hasn't... I mean, the Red Bull... its parent, I guess, chassis, if you like, hasn't shown any better predictability this year. It's been hot and cold. It was slow in qualifying at the last race, but fast in the race. So I don't know whether they just need to rethink the whole thing. I don't know what James Key's plan is, whether he's just going to, whether he still gets input from Newey Designs and from what goes down at Red Bull, or whether they just start the whole thing from scratch and go, well, I'll tell you what, I can do this better. I'll do it myself. Wherever they're at the moment, this is one of their worst seasons for many a year, and they've got to do something, and getting rid of Ascanelli was that something. Let's see if it makes any difference at all. Then all you got for me? Anything from the comments?
Stephen said, does James Key change teams more often than anyone else in F1?
He wasn't at Sauber for very long. What was it? Where did he go from? Force India to Sauber?
Hold on.
Are you getting some facts?
I can give you a brief history of James Key.
Go on then.
He joined Jordan in 1998.
Oh my God, it was Eddie. Eddie's going to take credit for it.
He was a race engineer for Takuma Sato. Then he did some vehicle dynamics and stuff. Shortly after the team's ownership to MF1 Racing, he became technical director.
So Force India, effectively.
He was one of the youngest technical directors of a Formula One team.
Okay. So his entire career was effectively at that Silverstone base, and he went from there to...
He retained his position through the transition from Spyker to Force India. He left Force India to join Sauber, replacing Willy Rampf, who has the best name ever, as technical director. And then he left there, and where has he turned up? Toro Rosso.
So he hated working for Malia, despite having put up with working for Eddie Jordan. And then he moved to Hinwil, didn't like it at all there, because he didn't stick around for very long, and now he's going to Italy. So maybe he's just on a little mini world tour. He's going to the far-flung factories, expecting to turn up at HRT in Spain anytime next year. Good stuff. What else we got then? Are we overrunning?
So, yeah, well, it depends how, yes. Are we only supposed to go on for an hour?
I don't know. Not at all. I don't think there is a time limit.
We should have a self-imposed hour time limit.
Okay.
That's good. So we are slightly, but we did start slightly late too. And like I said, all we have left is bad shirts, wrecked cars, the Swiss, and now is it Toro Rosso. Sauber do have some bad shirts, that is true.
Bad shirts?
Well, you know, like the team kits.
I assume you meant Eddie Jordan. I don't know. You don't Sauber's kit? You don't like the grey?
Swiss. Eddie Jordan is not Swiss, is he?
Okay, sorry. I thought that was going through his career.
Oh, okay.
Right. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
Either way, I don't know.
Tell me what you think about Sauber's kit.
It's just not very good. It's quite boring.
Grey.
It's grey and it's just got a little red squiggle on it. It's quite,
I like that.
It's
I like the understated S.
Well, there's understated and then there's just a shirt.
Not making any effort at all. I didn't know this.
I mean, I don't, you know, it's not an eyesore. It's just a bit bland and boring. I think Manisha deserves better.
Do you think that's why she turns up with bright welly boots?
Don't talk to me about the welly boots. Why is this news? So someone owns some wellies. Get over it.
What cute wellies?
I don't know. I don't get it.
Now I see you've upset Ryan, eh?
I know. Well, I've upset Lukey and I've upset Ryan.
Have you upset Lukey?
I said things earlier that we're not allowed to say.
Right.
So, you know, I'm working through everyone.
Eddie Jordan.
Oh, yeah, so you were right. Well,
I didn't get the Sato link, though. That was, yeah, I should have.
Yeah. I still think. Yeah. What do I know? What do I know about fashion? Nothing.
Dan said he had a phone call mid-podcast. Lucky we don't.
Yeah, no one calls us.
No one can call us at the moment. The machine's offline.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Another sweeper, please. Maybe it's just because they don't have any sponsors. It just looks weird.
How do they have any money? Is it Perez? Where on earth is Sauber's money coming from?
Well, you never know what's behind that Club One Force One. No,
that is a bit odd.
Not Force.
Is that still going?
I don't know. I think so.
Sauber Club One.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You never know what's behind that, do you? It's kind of the point.
They do have the tequila sponsor.
Excuse the chair, sorry.
Tequila's in the paddock today. They sent an invite.
Tequila.
What are you at now? Sorry, I was miles away reading the comments.
Yeah, I know. I'm just going to start and hope you catch up.
No, I was just reading about Alex Zanardi, and you got to say, absolutely amazing double gold medalist, but at the same time, I can't let you even consider the Olympics because I lost you for two weeks.
I think it's fair to say, at this point, the Paralympics is lost on me.
Oh, good.
I haven't watched hardly any of it.
Good, you're not allowed.
Well, it's disappointing, but I just...
2 weeks of your life vanished.
I know.
Thanks to the Olympics, and nothing got done.
It's a bit free practice in that there weren't many comments on it and it was on a different channel and
interesting.
It just wasn't quite as catchy.
It is great news, but I refuse to talk about it.
What was he doing?
He was a hand cycle at Brands today because I think Pat and Lou went.
Oh, okay, cool.
I think that's what it was.
At Brands? They ran around a circle?
Yeah, they went up and down a hill and everything, I think. Not paying. Don't talk. No, because you're still watching it. No.
Sorry.
You can watch the highlights of the Paralympics when they're over.
Mm. Okay.
Don't want you to talk about it. Well, the money comes from Carlos Slim. That makes more sense. Yeah. Okay. Then he can't get a Ferrari then. Perez cannot.
Is he the man that is going to save Honda in a big helicopter?
He did once fly into Brackley in a helicopter. Yes. Oh, no, I'll tell you what it was. It was helicopter was too big to fly into Brackley, so he had to fly somewhere else and then get a car. Is that right? I think his helicopter was too massive to fit on the helipad or something. That's why it was news. That's why it's in your head.
I do remember the stupidest thing.
He's the richest man in the world with the biggest helicopter in the world. And yeah, he was going, he considered buying Honda, but Braun said, I'm going to buy it myself, thanks. So he didn't. Which is lucky.
I don't think that's quite what Braun said.
I think it probably is what he said.
I think Braun said.
They flew, Carlos Slim flew in to save Honda and flew out without saving Honda. And then coincidentally, 3 days later, a management buyout was mentioned. And then Ross Braun, who Slim presumably had spoken to, and presumably had been put off the scent or the trail or whatever.
Why did they put him off?
Because they wanted to buy himself. They wanted.
Why did they invite him in then?
Who said they invited him?
When did he just land in his big helicopter? I don't know. Coming in.
I don't know whether they invited him or not, but they certainly had a plan, and they shooed him away, and then they bought the team themselves and made themselves incredibly rich.
Oh, I don't like that. I like the idea that...
Life, facts, which? The truth. You can't handle the truth.
I like the idea that Braun was, like, forced into it, and he had to put his own name on it, and he didn't like his name being on it and stuff. That's what he said. I don't want my name up there.
That's true. That is true. That is true, yeah. But
he was embarrassed.
Well, he was. I'm not saying it wasn't last minute. I'm not saying he shouldn't get credit for it. I'm just saying that Carlos Slim flew in with a rescue package and a lot of money and flew out again with that rescue package.
So why wouldn't they want it? Did you say that already?
They wanted. I would assume, having no facts or information about this,
that the combination of getting cut out later.
Nick Fry, Ross Braun, and whoever else was in the management team at the time had figured out a way to save the team with their own money.
So it's not just him, they didn't want anyone else. It could have been anyone and they probably would have
said it. Wouldn't have mattered who flew in to help the Honda team, they wouldn't have. At that point, they had a plan in mind. It was Christmas, wasn't it? I think it was Christmas or before New Year. They had a plan. Honda was going to put up the money, but not the name. So if it all went wrong, it wouldn't matter. But they weren't risking their own cash because it was Japanese money. And they had a plan to save the team. And it was a risk, but they...
It worked.
It worked. And maybe, you know, Carlos Slim probably isn't the right thing for Formula One. It probably isn't good news, and it probably would have all folded and gone dodgy and whatever. The same thing has happened with Zahara Force India right now. I'm not saying that he's, you know, the salt of the earth and the best thing to be turned away from Formula One.
You have to be careful when you compare things to Vijay Mallya, because that's just...
Well, I said Zahara's in trouble. Vijay Mallya's in a different set of trouble.
Oh, okay.
There's a whole heap of trouble. With Force India, everyone's in trouble. Yeah,
The quicker the drivers get out, the better. So when
and Hamilton gets in, obviously.
When Ryan had one driver missing at Force India, that's because no one wanted to be there.
There is no Force India.
That's Force India.
Eddie Jordan's going to come back and save it all with his own management buyout.
Anyway, what a ramble.
Yeah.
Okay. They were going to call it Team Dream, Team Dream. That's the best name ever. I don't know why they didn't do that.
Oh, okay. But Ryan's already got a succession plan itself, but that's fine. I didn't know he had that covered. Okay, so Perez goes to Ferrari, then they bring in Gutierrez.
Esteban Gloria Gutierrez. Gutierrez.
Gloria. They bring in Gloria, and he's back with Slim too, so that's fine. They're all good for money. They don't need sponsors.
Lukey.
What's he said now?
You've been warned.
What? Is he not allowed to mention
?
Rubens?
No, it's not that.
Oh.
Right.
Name. Yeah, no. I just got it. The penny dropped. Did you hear it? Right, sorry. Carry on.
I was almost going to go for it then.
Have we got your predictions yet?
Ruined. I think that all we have left to talk about is what's going to happen this weekend.
I don't want to stop talking. I'm going to think of other things to talk about. Okay. I'm going to just drag this show out. More and more talking and more discussion. What do you think we have left to discuss?
What is going to happen this weekend? I think it's going to be sunny in Monza all weekend. There's going to be no interruptions by the rain or anything. So all the drivers will be able to... what is that word? Let's do that again. Why are you laughing?
I don't know where you're going. Do you... okay, give me an interruption.
I think all we have left to talk about is what is going to happen this weekend.
And... what might that be?
Well, it's going to be sunny all weekend in Monza. So, oh, I'm having issues.
You want to drag the show out all night too? Yeah. I've run out of Red Bull, which is a problem.
Yeah, I've run out of drink too. It's quite hot in here. Mm. Right, one more time. I think that all we have left to talk about is what's going to happen this weekend.
And what do you suppose that might be?
Well, it's supposed to be sunny all weekend, so that's good. No rain getting in the way of things. And that's it. That's all I know.
And dare you give us a prediction as to who may or may not do well?
No.
No.
Well, I can't predict anymore. I can't take the guilt.
Of jinxing another driver?
Yeah.
And in Belgium, you predicted Fernando Alonso and he lasted less than a corner.
I know. You don't have to remind me.
So, this weekend... you're going to abstain? That doesn't make for very good audio.
Oh, I mean, I can make a prediction. I have made a prediction at work, but I think maybe if I don't say it, nothing bad will happen.
I think you are... I think that's nonsense. Tell us who you predicted.
Button.
Why?
Because he looked really on form, and I think at another high-speed circuit, he might be able to do well.
Okay. That's vaguely logical for you.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can argue against that. I suspect that without Romain, with Jerome in the seat and Kimi having failed to impress in Belgium, I think Lotus are out of the hunt. I know that Kimi was throwing that car over the curbs today. It's not handling very well.
He did have a bit of an airborne incident.
He also damaged the car earlier in the day too, on curbs, because I just don't think he's riding the circuit at all well. So they are probably out of it. Mercedes were looking pretty hot, but we've discussed previously their gearbox issues. They're probably not going to last the whole race, despite the fact they think they might. That doesn't leave very many people other than Red Bull and Ferrari. And McLaren. So let's go with, I think Red Bull...
That doesn't
Bull.
Leave very many people apart from this one and this one and this one. Oh, and them as well.
They sort of came back to me. Well, we can discount Massa. So yep. I shouldn't have said Ferrari. That really leaves Red Bull and McLaren and Alonso.
Okay.
Home circuit for Alonso, but his car was falling to pieces today. So let's knock him out for the count. You've then got two Red Bull drivers and two McLaren drivers. I think Lewis's head is elsewhere. I don't think Jenson Button can repeat his performance last week. It's either going to be Vettel or Webber, and I pick Vettel. Because in the race, I think, aside from Hulk, Vettel was the driver who impressed me the most. He sided his way through the field. Both he and Mark Webber had fast cars. Vettel passed Webber on track and many more people. I think he did a great job. He put in a great
good
race.
Overtaking.
Yep, mm-hmm. Really, really good passing for him.
From both sides, being very respectful of each other. Red Bull drivers not known to like each other.
No, I think Mark knew he was beaten. I think that was a strong race from Sebastian. He's in the hunt for the title against Alonso. I think he's a danger man. My money is on Sebastian. May not get pole. Think you could be right. Could be a McLaren driver who's going to be faster over one lap, but in the race it will be strategy and positioning that make it a Red Bull victory and one that they'll savor on Ferrari's home ground.
Jordan says, come on now, Vettel can win at Monza in a Toro Rosso, so you've got to be on for a winner there.
Yeah,
there was a moment because Michael Schumacher was fastest in free practice one today. And there was a moment where I was looking at that thinking, it'd be quite fun if he won here at the Italian Grand Prix, which is Ferrari's home race. I don't think they would be too happy about that.
Well, they must still have some love for Michael Schumacher, for all the wins and everything he did for the team. They wouldn't have forgotten that. They wouldn't, you know, if he took the win off Fernando, Yeah, that's gonna blot his copybook a bit. Michael Schumacher, he must have a head full of retirement plans. I don't think he's got the...
Well, now I've seen all the gearbox issues they're having. Yeah. That's gone right out the window.
He's fast today. I think we can discount that. They could be okay. They could be decent in qualifying over one lap. But I don't think they've got the race pace to make a stack up. I mean, Michael Schumacher, in Belgium, he was like... Was he challenging Hulk for second? At one point, he was looking great. And then the car just went backwards and backwards and backwards, as it always does in Grand Prix.
That's it. That's all we got.
Any more predictions in the comments?
Yes. Hold on. I'm in the wrong page. I'm having so much trouble. Why am I in the dashboard? I just don't want to be on the dashboard. Bear with me while I sort my life out.
I'm just going to read the comments while you sort your life out. Ralf Schumacher isn't going to win this weekend. Well, depends.
There have been some predictions and things in the comments. Davin said, so Christine is predicting sunshine, so the entire race is going to be rained out and we don't get to see it. Yeah, that could happen. That really could happen.
I think your weather prediction is probably the only thing you'll get right this weekend. But we'll see. Because, you know, annoyingly, people will listen to the show after the race has happened and pick us up on all sorts of points which we couldn't possibly know. And I know that people will be listening to this on Monday going, yeah, you were wrong, Mr. C, right there. Everything you said
Can't believe you said that.
Yeah, that's going to come back and bite me. But we shall see.
Mark said Vettel for pole. Lukey said Charles pick to win, which I don't think... is serious. Dan reckons that Maldonado is going to crash with likely to be with D'Ambrosio. That wouldn't be very nice, would it?
It wouldn't be very nice, but not very nice things happen in Formula One. Like, you know, I don't know, Sauber qualifying where they did and then not getting past corner one.
That's true. Yes, sometimes it's bad. That's it, I ran out, but I need another one now because I just said
Sauber?
Ryan says he predicts that Sauber will be massively underwhelming. You know, sometimes I think he isn't Sauber's biggest fan.
Oh, I don't know. Stephen says he predicts a riot, and I cannot argue with that. I think that is exactly what's going to happen. On Sunday, it will be a riot. We may not be able to see it. We'll see the highlights. We will catch the highlights on Sunday evening on the only channel that we are able to get them on.
Yeah.
But we will enjoy them all the same. If you catch it live, do make sure you go to Side Podcast. There will be live comments regardless. And it is the place to hang out on your Grand Prix weekend. Also, do check out many of the fantastic columnists. There's so much good writing going on inside podcast. When we're away, when we're not podcasting, when we're not talking as we like to like this, there's so much going on the site. Make sure wherever you are, wherever you are in the week, that you come along to Side Podcast and keep up with all the latest, because it is just fantastic. There's an incredible amount of discussion and insight and all sorts of incredible writers going, all sorts of incredible writing going down. Good luck editing that.
Thanks for that.
Do that again. I can do that better. Hold on. I'll do that again. That was rubbish. That was a terrible sales pitch. Where did I come in?
You said stay in the comments, and also while you're there.
Oh, yes, that's right. I think that's us. That was great.
You can't do that.
Can I? Where do you want me to come in then?
Well, you were mid-sentence. You can't just...
No, I'm going all the way back.
To what? Back
to when you said, Sauber. Can I not drop me in?
You said Stephen predicts a riot then.
So I come in on that one. I can fix it from there. Indeed, and Stephen said he predicts a riot, and I cannot argue with that. If you are watching the race live, make sure you tune into Side Podcast. Come along, join in the comments. It is the best place to enjoy a Grand Prix race. Make sure that if you listen to the show after the weekend, there's plenty of great writing to check out on Side Podcast. So many good writers. Be sure to go to the homepage, look at the columnists. So, fantastic insight and oh God, rubbish! Oh! Fallen to pieces on the sales pitch.
Do you want some help?
You going to shoot me? That kind of help.
No. Do it again.
In the comments, Stephen.
Slow down.
And Stephen predicts a riot. I cannot argue with that logic. If you're watching the race live this weekend, be sure to come along to Side Podcast. Check out the live comments, join in the fun. It is the place to catch up with a race. You wouldn't want to be without the community during a Grand Prix event.
You know what else is on the site? If you happen to be passing by over the weekend, or perhaps after the race when you're at a bit of a loss, because hey, it's not back-to-back racing after this. You've got a whole fortnight to fill. What are you going to do?
What am I going to do?
You can check out the features. Now, I think we talk about this every show, but they are so good. It's just, it would be a crime if you haven't looked at the features page recently. And we're getting great columns all about potential drivers in the future, the path for drivers going through the field, what's happening in the middle of the field. It's just, it's amazing. There's topics on everything and there's always more coming. So keep checking back.
That's amazing.
Is that what you're trying to do?
Well, now you just showed me up.
No, not really.
Yeah, you did.
No, because I got to listen to you do it twice, so I was prepared.
Ah, that was awesome. Yeah, that was perfect. I got nothing to add to that. That's a great way to end the show.
Good.
Happy
actually,
with that?
I did have other sales pitches to do, but then well, like we've what? Ended
no,
it.
Do.
No, well, we've ended it now. What it's quite good. But we could tell the people again. Uh-huh. No, I was going to mention the Pulse thing on the side.
Oh, we didn't talk about new stuff on the side.
And the Twizzly thing and the events.
And the new features button.
And
well, that's not in my show notes.
The new features button. Yeah. No, it isn't. I added it afterwards and then I think I might have accidentally deleted it again.
What are you deleting? What's this deletion?
Well, because my...
write show notes and delete the
no,
mid-show?
No, my show notes were not in the right order and I was confused at what we had done and what we hadn't. So I tried to move things around and I think I got confused with my copy and my X's. Control X's and Control Z's or whatever. So that is what's happened.
Can I talk about the very, not in the show, but just for the people who've joined in the comments. If you are looking at the site on a desktop or on a tablet in landscape orientation, the navigation at the top, the buttons across the top, it's been expanded. And now there's a features button up there. So you can always get to it, whichever page. Before, you can only get to the features really from the homepage. And now you can get to it wherever you are. Additionally, because you have spent the last April, May, June, July, August, September, 5.5 months working on recategorizing the site, if you click on the contents twirl, what do you call that? Triangle.
Drop-down thing?
Yeah, the chip thing. All of those menus have been reorganized and revamped.
You have lost the ability to talk, haven't you?
No!
Let me do that. the drop-down thing. The drop-down at the top that reveals all the categories. It used to reveal like a half-hearted set of categories that we just picked out the most important things. But I have been through every single post.
4,000 posts.
And I've got to go through them again, but that's a whole other subject. Been through every single post, put them in good categories, and so they're all there now. So you can have a look, have a quick browse around, see what you can find. It's always good fun delving into the archives. I think that's how it goes.
That's excellent.
I'm not sure I believe that, but that's what people tell me.
Yeah.
Lukey asks if there's a parade lap this weekend. No. No is the answer.
It was a one-off. It won't happen again this year. No. It was fantastic. I loved every minute of it. But no, maybe if you could convince Alex for 2013 or 2014 we might do some more, but no, it was definitely a one-off thing. Was it the meetup or something? It was discussed, but it was sort of brainstormed at the meetup, and that was the one-off thing. No, there will definitely be no more. But as much as I loved it, it was brilliant.
I think it's the kind of thing that will come back occasionally.
Yeah,
and it's probably always going to be a surprise.
It wasn't the last one, but it was the last one this season, no question. Yeah,
I think the season is going to be really busy.
This would be the last race when there's any time to do it, and we don't have anything planned.
Yeah, because there's also like it's going away from Europe again, so it's going to be in the middle of the night and stuff.
You've got Japan is 6 o'clock in the morning. Where else are we? Brazil is at 5 o'clock in the evening. Then there's some other bad ones as well, isn't it? Where else have we got this? America.
Japan.
Japan is 6 o'clock in the morning.
Did you say that?
Yeah, America's going to be at a late time as well. That's not going to be ideal either. Yeah, it's just
Mark's pointed out that Alex needs time to pen a new space opera before the next prelap, which
you can't just make that stuff up.
Exactly. This stuff just doesn't come in a week.
No,
you know,
not at all. You could 2013 or 2014. You could maybe do a European season of them, if it was feasible for everybody.
But you know, he has a small child, and small children are demanding. And noisy.
So are you.
Oh.
I still cope.
Right.
I mean, the thing is, from our point of view, it's really hard. The other thing to mention is that we don't have the equipment to do a prairie lab at all. It was a miracle of technological engineering that we put together that show, because actually before we started, we didn't even know if it was possible. And the fact that it worked at all was nothing short of miraculous. We don't have as many computers as we had 2 years ago when we recorded it in the past.
Yeah, we need
a lot of investment to redo it.
It made me laugh because at the beginning of that show, we're like, oh, and Mr. C is over there pressing all the buttons and he's quite stressed out and stuff. But actually, you weren't pressing all the buttons. I was pressing all the buttons. But you were stressed out. It's just hard to explain why.
It's
all behind the scenes.
It's a feat of... It was, yeah. It was an achievement and I was proud that it worked and I was really happy that the show came off. I couldn't do that on a weekly basis or even ever again this year. No. We need a rack of stuff. And when we've got the equipment to do it, it will be brilliant. But struggling like we were, I mean, I literally had exactly the right amount of cables to do
There was a panic
with no spare cables. And
how fast can we get to Maplin and back?
If anything had gone wrong, there was no backup plan. That was it. Everything had to work, and it worked, and that was brilliant. But I'm not doing that every Sunday.
And it would have been a crime if the space opera hadn't been aired.
No.
Anyway, that's enough now. We've been warbling. No.
Yeah.
Not warbling. For long enough.
You've been warbling.
People have their Friday nights to enjoy, and I've got a show to edit. Hope it's a good race. See everyone in the comments, I guess.
Yeah. Alrighty. Do you want some music?
Yeah. Jingle Man.
Is that what I've been reduced to? Is that all I am to you?
While the music is there, Mark said, have you ever commentated on a race? No. We used to get this question a lot, but then not so much now. I think people know that we're stupid.
It's not that we're stupid.
People know that I'm stupid.
It's not that you're stupid. No, it isn't. The problem is we don't have any clean audio feed. There is no way of getting live, clean, clear F1 audio minus commentators for us to talk over. And if we could have that, we could do all sorts of interesting things. But without it, you can't do anything. You can't comment on a race in silence, and you can't talk over David Coulthard. I mean, that would be rude.
Oh, well.
So the reason we haven't commentated on a race is not that we can't commentate on a race. I think we could do...
I'm not sure.
We could do an interesting job.
Interesting. Yes. That is the word.
Yes.
But, we would do a job.
Yes. But no. It can't be done. It just can't be done. Nobody is willing to... release a clean audio feed of a live Grand Prix.
Well, I'm sure Bernie would have something to say about it if they did.
Yes. If they did, they'd shut us down. Yeah. One day.